Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Genuinely Grace. I had such an amazing response to last week's podcast. Oh, my goodness. I just cannot believe the outpouring of love for Steve Wright. It really has been incredible. He would have just been blown away, honestly. I don't think he realized just how beloved he really was. I mean, you know, there was a massive outcry when the show was axed, but God, it's just been incredible, absolutely incredible. So grateful for all the messages I've received and for all of the tributes that have happened for Steve over the last, week and a half. It's just been amazing to see. And as you know, I've popped up on a few TV things and a few radio things, been able to put my little two penneth in. But there's just been so many celebrities have said their bit as well. And it really is just incredible the impact that his life made on so many people. And loads of people watched the YouTube video. I unusually uploaded a video last week of my podcast because I didn't want to do a regular podcast. So I uploaded a video, and I had a massive number of views on that, again, because people wanted to hear the tribute to Steve Wright, but also lots of responses to the stuff around alcohol. So actually, it was really encouraging to read so many messages of people saying, you know, actually, I was quite interested in what you said about ditching the booze. And of course, lots of people saying they've been sober for years, and others saying that they'd thought about it. So it was turned out to be just a really great way of connecting with lots more people, I think. So thank you if you listened to that. Thank you if you shared it, and if you messaged me, it was very much appreciated. It really was. And I had a really lovely card through the post as well. It's nice, isn't it, getting stuff through the post? None of us do it enough. It was a reminder to me to do that more often for people that I care about. But I got this really lovely card, kind of hand designed card that used a couple of the pics from my blog post, a pic of me with Steve. And it was just really, really lovely to receive that stuff. So huge thank you. So wherever you're at, actually last week when I was talking about the days of the week, that really resonated with people. I had a few people message me and say, I'm not quite sure how I feel about that, Janie. It's quite a sobering thought when I recognize that I'm on Saturday night or Sunday. But of course, there's no reason why you should be, hopefully with any luck, got another 30 years, even if you're on Sunday, right? I hope so. And certainly, you know, if you are doing this thing of focusing on your optimum health and well-being and ditching the booze, then you're giving yourself the best chance. I mean, when I was still drinking, I really was, I've said it lots of times, I was so scared of getting older, so scared of every aspect of getting older. I did not want to look old. I didn't want everything to go south. I was worried about the gravity of everything. I was definitely worried about my health decreasing. I was worried about cancer. I was worried about my teeth. That's another long story. I was worried about so many things. And I mean, I was relatively healthy, incredibly, considering how much I was drinking. But I was very conscious that everything felt that it would get worse. Nothing felt like it could get better. It just felt like it was just gonna, I was on some kind of, treadmill, if you like. And it was just heading downwards. It was a downward spiral. I don't feel that way anymore. I just feel incredibly grateful to be getting older. I mean, what's the alternative, right? As I constantly say, ditching the booze is literally the best anti-aging hack ever. I mean, it doesn't stop you aging, but it means that you age well. And isn't that all we care about, really? We want to be in optimum health. So I really think that, you know, there's no reason why, even if you're on Sunday, you should still have 20 or 30 years. And it's about what you do with those years, isn't it? And that's what's so amazing. It's never too late to to start getting your health together. Really isn't, never too late. So, you know, if you're kind of just waking up, as it were, to this, that's fine. That's fine. Just get, you know, crack on now. Don't procrastinate any longer, because this is the best thing you'll ever do. There's nothing to lose and there is literally everything to gain. This week we did, earlier in the week, I did a session on what does it mean to be a sober coach. That's for people who have ditched the booze and are interested in maybe finding a new purpose, doing something different, or just supporting other people. And we spoke a lot there about the holistic approach that we cover in the Sober Club and in the training that I offer. And I can't stress that enough, really, for everybody. I think you really do have to think holistically. I mean, to start with, you've probably only got one thing on your mind in the early weeks, and that is, you know, will I, can I, am I going to be able to live my life without alcohol? And that's kind of all you can focus your mind on. And then often the next thing that comes in is, oh my goodness, now I seem to be mainlining sugar. And then the next thing that tends to come in is, oh my God, what about all the shame and all the misery that, you know, the trail of destruction I've left behind me? Or so there's a kind of process that lots of people go through. But actually, if you get yourself connected and you get the support you need from day one, then you can start to lay the foundations so that you can, right from the beginning, start to focus on what you can add in, on how you can do this holistically, so that you can start to take care of yourself. It's all going to come down to how you take care of yourself. Because when we're drinking, we really are not doing that. You know, let's be clear, we really are not. It's self-harm, as I said on the podcast last week. I'm not, that word's quite a shock when you first hear it. It's like, don't be ridiculous. I've not been self-harming. Well, yeah, I kind of was for all those years. So when you stop and you can actually focus on, what do I need? What do I need right now? Because I sure as hell don't need toxic liquid. So what is it that I do need? You know, when you're craving sugar, is it actually that you're craving sweetness, that you want some sweetness in your life? It's not fuel you need, or a pile of chemicals and sugar, fat and salt, or whatever the hell you're reaching for. It's that you need to feel good. It's that part of you needs soothing, right? It's always about that soothing. So as time goes on, you find healthier ways to soothe yourself, and the you know, the highs and lows become not so extreme. That's not to say that you don't feel happy. You do, and you feel sad sometimes, but it's that kind of balance, that feeling that you're able to come back to balance, that really is so special. And that is done with the holistic approach, in my opinion. It really is. So some of you might have come to my webinar on what does it mean to be a sober coach. If you did, thank you so much for coming. And if you weren't able to attend but you want any more information, just drop me a message, because our early bird price ends next week. So drop me a message if you're interested in doing that training. And for everyone, you know, if you're just starting out, if you're on day one, if you're thinking about this, if something's brought you to this podcast and you're not even quite sure why, then just ask yourself that question, you know, could my life be better physically and emotionally without alcohol? And if the answer is yes, then fantastic. You've woken up, the light bulbs come on. So now you can focus on, okay, so what would be good for me? How do I want to feel? And that's an interesting question, because so often people don't know. They don't know what they want, because we've spent so much of our time focusing on other people, or focusing on, you know, getting the job done, or the minutiae of life, the busyness. We're all so busy. But actually, when you stop for a bit, you can ask, what do I want? What do I want more of in my life? What do I want to feel more of? It's a really good question. It's not very good English, but you know what I mean. what emotion do I want to feel more of? And be as specific as you can, because, you know, happy's good, but it's a little bit vague, isn't it? So really ask yourself, when do I feel good? What is it that I do? When are the times that I do feel good? And it can be something tiny. So maybe that's, you know, when you get your feet on the earth, or when you go and stand next to a tree, or when you, I don't know, have a cup of tea, or whatever it is for you. But they're the things that you need to focus on. It's the little things to start with, before you start to branch out into all the other stuff. This week's podcast guest, I managed to persuade her to do this chat with me. It's one of our Sober Club members, and I've seen lots of her posts on our Sober Club group, and she's always so encouraging of other people and always so positive. And then I've met Lynn at some events that we've done as well. So, you know, it's been fantastic to just connect with her. And I thought, let's get her to share her story. It's really lovely to hear different stories of how people came to their sobriety and what happened for them along the way. So we'll run that in just a moment. Just a reminder, in case you're listening to this, depending on what date you're listening to this, we do have Family Constellations in York on Sunday, and there are still spaces left, and it's such an amazing transformational experience. Please come if you can. If right at the last minute you find you can make it, then come along. It's Sunday 25th of February. And it's, I think we start at 10:45, 10:30, something like that. And it's Central York, so it's close to the station. So if you can get yourself on a train to York, come and experience it. It's really, really quite life-changing. It really is amazing. For anyone who's not heard of Family Constellations, have a little look at, go to thesoberclub.com and have a look at some of the posts on Constellations. It's really incredible work, because that's the other piece of all of this, isn't it? When we do start to focus on optimum well-being, we do start to ask ourselves, oh, could I become the kind of person who actually likes themselves, God forbid, you know, can I be self-love curious? Then you start to realize, okay, well, maybe there's some stuff holding me back. I mean, there are for most of us. Most of us have got limiting beliefs, we've got stories we're carrying, we've got baggage, in inverted commas, we've got things that we're hanging on to. And we've often got stuff that is not really ours to carry, but it's hard for us to see that for ourselves. And sometimes we need a slightly different perspective. And some of it's inherited family trauma. I mean, you know, there's a lot to this, but, if you're open-minded, come and join us for Constellations. It's really amazing. So it'd be lovely to see some of you on Sunday, or we'll be doing another one in Hertfordshire at some point. We're going to be doing a live podcast meetup, with special guests on, I think we've, agreed April the 10th. In London. So I hope some of you can pop that in the diary. We'll get that confirmed as soon as possible. And I'm going to be putting another retreat day in place very soon as well. I'm still looking for the perfect retreat space. So if anybody has some amazing ideas, let me know. I don't want anything corporate. I like it to be very low key and kind of friendly. And yeah, you know the kind of thing, I'm sure. I don't want a corporate venue. But if you know of anywhere, then drop me a message. So I'm so delighted that this week on the show, we can bring you one of our Sober Club members. I love it when we can just chat to people about their stories. So thank you so much, Lynn Webb, for agreeing. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Janie.
That's really nice of you. I know that, you know, you probably don't do many things like this, so it's probably out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, a little bit, let's say.
So anyways, we've met a couple of times when you've been to events or retreats or whatever that I've run, and it's always been lovely to see your smiley face and to read some of the things that you write on our Sober Club private page. So I just thought, if you were willing, it would be so nice for you to share some of your story. So do you mind just taking us kind of right back? Tell us a little bit about, you know, Lynn in the early days.
Oh my god. Yeah, so I'll go right back, but I'll keep that bit quite brief, because I think people will get the picture. I think in the early days, I'd like a drink of alcohol. I'd kind of grew up in the family that, you know, drinking was associated with celebration. It was actually associated, I think, with growing up as well, which I think is a slightly strange thing now I look back.
What, you mean that kind of rite of passage thing? Oh, you're a certain age, so you have to drink.
Yeah. And I think when I went to university, I genuinely thought that it was the thing to do. It was like, how exciting, I'm away from my family. Let's just get on it. And I never really considered it. I was clearly drinking, it was following the crowd. So, and I did that pretty much throughout my adult life. I think I joined the Air Force after university, and there was a very boozy culture. You know, we had rituals, you know, they've really clamped down on it now, but there were rituals. You know, you'd pass the course and you'd get a ceremonial drink.
Really?
And I think all the time I was just thinking, yeah, I remember one, you know, you literally drank a pint with pretty much every spirit from the bar, topped up with Coca-Cola. And then you'd have a Mars bar floating in. I mean,
My God. And was this very much a culture of the women had to keep up with the guys kind of thing as well?
Yeah, because we were in the minority. And there was also this. So this was in the late 80s, early 90s. And I think if you think of the kind of Ladette culture that there was then, there was, you know, famous people like Zoe Ball, and I guess a lot of the supermodels, you know, Kate Moss was always falling out of a taxi at 4 in the morning. And I just think it was a confidence thing for me. I've always come across, I think, everybody assumes I'm confident. I'd always assumed I was a huge extrovert. But I'd always kind of thought I was missing out on something if I didn't join the gang. So I sort of did that. All the time, though, having horrendous hangovers, absolutely awful hangovers. You know, I never found drinking easily. And I look back and I think, what was I thinking?
No, why would you do this to yourself? I mean, if any food ever makes you ill, you never eat it again, do you?
No.
We go back to exactly the same thing.
Yeah, I gave up bananas for years because I thought they made me ill. And I didn't even hesitate, whereas alcohol, I would do that. So I think the Air Force was just such a boozy culture. And actually, I stayed in the Air Force for over 20 years. And I'm not talking about as somebody, I mean, I was in responsible roles. You know, I got to the rank of wing commander, and I went out to Iraq to do a really important job out there, a peacemaking job. And I actually was excited about the fact that I would not be drinking alcohol for the 4 months that I was out there. And at this stage, I was probably in my early 40s. I was probably late 30s, early 40s. And I was excited about it. Anyway, guess what? Lots of underground drinking establishments, even in places like that. Absolutely shocked. I was just shocked, but I did. You know, I went and had a few drinks. I think over this time I've been thinking, this can't be right. And I had started to look at people who had given up alcohol, and I had this sort of mix, like, how strange, how do they do it? And then on the other side, I was starting to think, you know, they've got it right. Aren't they strong? Why can't I do this? And I think that kind of went, that was probably set in about 10 years ago. And then sort of fast forward, I joined the Sober Club, I think about 2020, maybe 2019, but 2020, I think. And I thought, I'm going to give this a go.
What was the sort of thought process, you know, how did you come across the Sober Club then? How, you know, what was the thought process that led you to that decision?
Well, I'd had a, I'd had a night out, and it was always the same in these days. By this stage, I'd got a corporate job and was working in London. And I'd had a, got in with, again, I hadn't really questioned the fact that the booze culture was part of a successful life. I just don't get it now. I really thought, so I'd got myself a great job, met what I thought was a great group of people, and had a really big work night out in London. And at this stage, I think I was living in, I think we were still living in Southwest London, so it wasn't quite as horrendous. I mean, I live in Milton Keynes now, so it would have been very costly, but it was a very expensive, you know, early hours of the morning taxi back. And my husband, who's also ex-military, is one of these people who can take it or leave it in terms of alcohol. You know, he doesn't make a thing of it. He's, yeah, occasionally had the big night out, but he seems to learn from it, and he just will go, you know, just doesn't make a thing. He can literally have a drink. And he will only have a drink if he enjoys the taste of it. So he doesn't drink because it's alcohol. So he was pretty cross. I sort of rolled in. I was had that kind of awful, you know, what have I done? Who have I spoken to? Thank God I got home. All of that rolled into one, that anxiety bit. And I just thought, I'm gonna stop. And I coincidentally was talking to somebody at work about it about 2 days later. We were having that, what a night was that? Where did that come from? Why did we all get hammered? And he then said, well, I actually made my escape. And he said, and I've just discovered, I said, and I saw a TED talk by Janie Lee Grace. I don't know if you know her. And I said, well, I don't know her, but I listened to her on the radio. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. So we sat in the office, big open plan office with our headphones on in London, watching your TED talk.
Oh, that's cool.
And I
I
just
didn't know
thought,
that. That's
no.
good.
And I thought, well, actually, I then dug a bit deeper and I thought, I need to commit to something. I need to become accountable. So I joined, I think, sort of there and then. And I, after about 3 or 4 months, I went to one of your Champneys retreats, and it was, I just absolutely loved it. And I just was feeling incredibly strong. But I think I still had, subconsciously, and it emerged, came to the front of my mind at some point, thinking, actually, I'm still missing out. And I don't even know where that came from. But the tipping point was my mother passed away in 2021, and I just started drinking again. And I can even picture myself, it was like my coping thing. And I, something was telling me that I needed to do it. So I stood there in my dad's living room, phoning all the family to tell them about my mum at 2 o'clock in the afternoon with the biggest glass of red wine in my hand that I didn't need. And I just gradually started drinking again. It was like, well, I'll stop, but no. And then again, I had a sort of a tipping point. And then I think, oh, I'd have to check, like 18 months ago. Let's just say 18 months.
Amazing. Let me just
I
take
came back.
you let me just take you back a bit. You know, when you sort of in those times when you were kind of drinking way too much and a little bit of you knew, were you aware, you know, maybe before you watched the TED talk or was it the TED talk that kind of opened your eyes, as it were, to the whole, you know, world of people who are drinking more than they want to? Or were you like me, someone who had, you know, before that point, thought you were the only one?
Yeah, I think I thought I was the only one. I think it felt like, and again, I think that's weird, isn't it? Because you think everybody likes to a tribe, they like to belong. And I just felt like I was a bit of an outlier because surely all these other people seem to be coping with it really, really well. And maybe, and I wonder if that's what kept me jumping back on the bandwagon. You know, it's like I had these horrendous hangovers. Nothing would, I was very cynical about hangover cures. I just thought I've just got to sleep and sit this out, and then in a few days' time, I'll feel fine again. But I just didn't think anyone else was going through it. It felt like, oh, I'm the one that is embarrassing at parties, and I'd kind of got used to being, you know, oh, it's Lynn, she might fall over. I genuinely don't think I had rock bottom, but I could definitely see it. Yeah, it was like I was in casualty. This is one of the things that triggered me to come back. I fell over. It was totally innocuous, but if I hadn't have been drunk, I would have been fine. Fell over, dislocated my elbow, literally stumbled. So 3 o'clock in the morning, find myself in hospital. We were staying in London. The day of the day of the junior doctor strike.
Oh,
So I was
God.
sort of seen by these very respectable people. And I was just like, oh my God, Lynn. And I think at that time I was like early 50s, thinking, what are you doing? Yeah. And I was so ashamed. And I just didn't realize that there were other people that had been through this.
Is interesting, isn't it? This sort of layer of the shame that we feel, you know, that we feel it's all our fault, and that we're the only ones who can't handle it, in inverted commas. You know, everyone else seems to be fine. We're having 3 day hangovers, you know, but we push on through, and that sort of underlying sense that there's something wrong with us, and that everyone else, the lovely, happy social drinkers, it's great for them, but there's something wrong with me. You know, it's just, I mean, the marketing around alcohol, well, you cannot fault it, can you? It's just bloody impeccable. You know, the way they've managed to make us the bad guys, whereas actually, you know, we know that it's alcohol that's destructive, that's addictive, that's the poison. You know, and of course our bodies are going to react that way, and we're going to feel like that because it's a goddamn depressant. But the way the kind of blame is brought back to us, I think, and you know, as you say, that keeps you stuck for so long because nobody talks about it, or very few people talk about it, certainly back then. It doesn't get out in the open. So on the rare occasions you do find somebody else who goes, actually, I feel shit too.
I know, and you know, it's that I do what I felt was that overwhelming flow overflowing of like warmth, and we're here to help you. When I came back to the sober club, I'd had a horrendous night, and I literally came back. I was staying overnight with a friend in London. We'd been to see something in London, and I'd just gone one step too far in terms of drinking. I'd got to the point where we'd been dragged off to, I can't even remember which bar, but it was, and I remember thinking, I don't need or want another drink, but I'm gonna have something. And you know, spending that time thinking, what drink can I stomach? It's like, what on earth does that come from? So the next morning, my husband and I were heading out somewhere, and I just said, I can't even remember where it was. And I just got back home, went to bed, and I just thought, I'm going to re-engage with the sober club. I was still a member because I still believed in it, and I just thought, I'm not going to not be a member while I was drinking, because I think this, I know where I need to get to eventually. I keep feeling like I'm going a few steps back, but I still know what's right for me. And I put a message up, and I was like, you know, it's me, being a bit quiet for a while. And I explained what had happened the night before, and oh my word, it was just like a big hug. It was just like, and people that I hadn't met before, but had exchanges with on Zoom calls with you or whatever it was, just suddenly were like acting as, I'm here for you. I had some private messages, which was just phenomenal, and people sharing their experience back with me made me realize that I'm not the only one. I'm not this outlier. And I also thought what was really important for me was that we've all slipped up before. You know, we didn't get it right first time. And so it's definitely a marathon, not a sprint. And it's definitely, and at some point it clicks. And I think it is the most joyous thing now it's clicked. I know I still have to nurture myself. I know I still have to go through some of the lessons. I still have to keep working. But coming back and having that community for me was, I just felt I could be open, unafraid. And I've got all these people who are not judging me, which was perhaps the most important thing, because I just didn't feel alone anymore. It sounds a bit corny, and I actually get quite emotional when I think about it, because I just think it's massively saved me. You know, I've embraced everything about this, which is brilliant.
And I really appreciate you staying a member as well, because you know sometimes people will join us in the sober club because you know we have a Get the Buzz Without the Booze, you know, a course that runs for 90 days at the beginning, and obviously loads of content. And then sometimes will people come along and they'll join the sober club, and then they'll sometimes send me a message, sometimes they'll just leave, but they'll send me a message saying, oh, thanks ever so much, it's been great, you know, and I'm a couple of months sober now and that's really good, so thanks, bye, you know, and then they're gone. But actually the reality is it's not about whether or not you, inverted commas, relapse. Let's hope you won't. It's about the everything else, isn't it? It's about the creating that life you don't want to escape from. So, you know, you're 18 months sober now, and we've got people in the club who are day one, and so you've got something to share with those people, as it were. And then we've got people who've been sober for sort of 10, 11 years, because there's always another thing to think about, isn't there?
I think it's what's really funny. I mean, I think there's a couple of things that spring to mind. I was went out to New York about not quite a year ago, and I was probably coming up to my 6 months point, and I, in fact, probably, no, might be coming up to my year, but I was I kind of planned it out. I spoke to the club about, you know, people, members of the club, about taking that flight. You know, it's a business class trip, and, you know, definitely fraught with danger if you look at it that way. When I got out there, we had this work thing, and at the end of the day, there was like a free bar, which would have been paradise in the past. And I stood there, and I literally teetered a little bit. I felt myself wobble. I felt I had that. You're the only person, you know, that knows you in New York. You haven't got anybody around you, and no one will judge you. And then this guy, one of my colleagues from America, who I don't know very well at all, and he said, "Hi, Lynn, what are you having?" And I said, "Oh, I'm just looking to see what the options are." He said, "Well, I'm just going to butt in," and he basically said to this lady, "Could I have one of my special gin and tonics?" And this guy was organising it, and she just gave him a tonic. So I said, "Oh, what's that?" He said, "Oh, I don't drink." He says, "I've been sober for 4 years."
Wow.
At that point, yeah, and I actually thought, I want to be part of his tribe more than the tribe of the people in the corner who were knocking back Jack Daniels. And do you know what I mean? That was a real revelation. And then I started, and then I had a chat with him a bit later about it. And he said, "You know, I just realized I'd had too much booze in my life. It just wasn't able to be me." He said, "I didn't go to AA or anything like that." He said, "But I joined a couple of social groups in my town." And he said, "And I realized that," he said, "people look after their cars better than they look after their bodies." And he said, "So what if it costs me a little bit of money to subscribe to some of these online communities?" He said, "I treat my car better than I was treating myself, because I have a service. I make sure I wash it periodically. I check it in, I go in. If I haven't driven it for a while, I'll go and turn the engine." And I was like, "Oh my God, that's a bit of a bloke's analogy, but I get it."
It is. It's a great analogy. I know, totally. So just share with us then, you know, what have been some of the benefits for you, you know, since you've stopped? I'm guessing you've done some of the work, and you've written down some gratitudes and blessings at some point. But what have some of the blessings been for you?
I think one of the main things has been time. I mean, everything's linked, I think, but I have so much more time, because my brain was so preoccupied with nonsense like, where are we going to get a taxi from? Mm-hmm. Or let's not do anything on Saturday morning because I won't really feel up to it until lunchtime. And especially when you go on holidays, it is literally, you don't have to sleep off a hangover. You don't have to think about, "Oh, I don't really feel like sunbathing because I just can't do that."
Yeah, exactly. You get so much more out of a holiday, don't you? Sober.
Yeah, so time is amazing. I think proper true friendships is really interesting. And you know, even on an online community like the Sober Club, you get that, because you genuinely are not clouding your judgment by judging somebody as a friend by the fact that they're a drinking buddy. When you go and meet people in person, it's, have we got something in common? Do we have a good conversation? And I think that it's almost like childlike, you know, that's how, as a child in the playground, you'd get on, you know, you'd have things in common, you'd fall out, you'd get back together, but it wouldn't be clouded by some kind of drug.
Yeah.
Whereas I think most of my adult life, after work, everything was about socializing and about trying to, and you're trying to sort of be that person that, I don't want them to think I'm boring. So I tell you what, I'll have a bit of Dutch courage, and I'll shove some horrible stuff down my neck, and then I'll be confident and they'll find me interesting. So one of the things it's definitely given me back is kind of my true self. And I still have wobbles of, you know, you meet someone, you think, are they going to like me? What are they going to think about me? But actually I care a lot less now, because I think life is too short. And what I genuinely think it's about being able to have a decent conversation, being able to be quiet when you want to be quiet. So I think it's given me sort of true friendship, true understanding. It feels like somebody's taken a sort of a, you know, when you go to the optician and he puts all the different lenses in front of you and you can't see a thing, but you can see a bit, you can make out the shape. Feels like that's all been removed, and I've now got this clarity. That's how, kind of how I can describe it. I've
Yeah.
got health back, you know, definitely. And weirdly, I was always into my health. I was always into my fitness.
Were there things that health things for you that improved, little things that got better?
I think my eyesight, I don't know
Yeah, actually
how.
mine did. My eyesight
Is
got better.
it? How is that? I mean, there must be a meaning, but I definitely think I've got clearer eyesight and hair and skin. I think my overall energy levels. I mean, it's not all, I would say, you know, it's not all perfect. And I do remind myself, you know, I'm 54 and I'm not about to go and break, you know, world records for, you know, running the half marathons, but I do run half marathons, you
Oh,
know,
do you?
and
Fantastic.
I do, and I love it. And I'm going to, you know, I've started making time to go and do them overseas. So I'm going to
Wow.
Paris in a week and a bit's time. This is a
Amazing.
trend. You know, there'll be no booze. I will walk around Paris, we'll go and run a bit, we'll enjoy it, and we'll get the train back. I'm
So
switch,
do you
you
have
know.
that sense then that since stopping drinking that you have done things that you probably wouldn't otherwise have done, that you've embraced this a new kind of confidence.
I have, and it started to make me think about kind of just life's priorities as a whole in terms of, you know, I've got a very corporate job which I do enjoy, but I'm not sure I love it enough to do it for a long time. At the moment, it's sort of it's about it funds all the holidays that I love to have, and it is good. It is stimulating and it is challenging, and I'm probably braver about it than I would have been before. But I think it's made me braver about committing to really kind of searching for that fulfilling way of living, which will have bits of work in it, maybe bits of study. You know, I'm definitely going to join your sober coaches, you know, webinar, because I suddenly thought, actually, I'm really fascinated by that, and I think I might like to do that. Now, whether I do or not, but I would never have been brave to do something like that. And I'm starting to look at courses around nutrition, and I it but it's less it's about I'm braver now because I'll try it and let's just see where it goes, rather
Yeah, I
than
love that.
myself.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's so true. We people find a sort of a sense of purpose that they didn't have before. And also there's so often that thing of that kind of underlying thing of really wanting to give something back and wanting to try and inspire other people. You must have had lots of colleagues and friends kind of sidle up to you and you know, privately, oh, come on, Lynn, tell me how you really did it, you know, or because that happens, doesn't it? When your sort of energy changes, people do start to kind of ask you. And yeah, and that's super. So, well, you'd make a fantastic coach and definitely should train with me. She says. No, because,
100%.
well, it's mainly because our training is completely holistic and, you know, it's not just about helping people stop drinking. It's about creating that life you don't have to escape from, which is, you know, exactly what you found, isn't it? Amazing.
It's living it, isn't it? It's properly living it, and it's properly believing in it. But it's almost like boundaryless, because you know it could be, for me, running and looking after myself that way really complements the not drinking, and I'm now starting to look at other things. But yeah, I just think it's so powerful, and it's really flattering when people come up to you and say, "How have you done
Yeah,
it?" Right? Especially when
exactly.
they're quite young.
Yeah. It's like, I want some of what she's having. Amazing. Well, you are a fantastic poster girl
Oh, bless
for
you.
sobriety. You really are. So thank you so much for sharing your story, Lynn. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate you stepping out your comfort zone and coming and you know, unraveling, opening your cupboard and sharing some stuff
Yeah.
with us.
Thank you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Take care.
Pleasure. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Lynn, and for that glowing review of the Sober Club. It's really, it's just so lovely to hear that it's made a difference to people's lives. The Sober Club is really low cost. It is really high value. I am incredibly grateful that I was able to access so many amazing resources, so many incredible experts who were willing to give me their meditations, their expertise. So we literally have a huge content library, as it were, of stuff in there. We've got an online course in there. We have meetups, regular meetups. We have our very supportive Facebook group where I'm in there the whole time. And as Lynn says, there's something very magical about being part of a community where people get it. They really get it. And they're totally non-judgmental. And we do have people in the club who are day one and people who have been sober for more than 10 years, because it's always about so much more than, in inverted commas, just not drinking. It really is about creating that life. So do join us if you've not thought about it before, whatever stage you're at. There's always something, in your optimum well-being journey that you can get some support on and that you can be inspired by. So you just go to thesoberclub.com and you can join just for a month and then leave us if you like. Or you can join for a year and then you get 2 months free if you join for a year. So it is going to be going up soon. Isn't everything in life, isn't everything literally? So get in quick if you want to join us before the price goes up. It would be fantastic to have you involved in the Sober Club. If that's not for you and that you don't want to do that, but you'd like to support this work, then we have a Sober Club Give Back Fund, which supports people who can no longer afford their memberships. So you could pop a donation in there if you're interested, or you can go to buymeacoffee.com/JanieLeeGrace and make a donation there. But of course, I would rather have a coffee with you in real life. So if that's possible, then mine will be a flat white. So I'd much rather do that. So thank you so much for listening. Please share the podcast. Please drop me a message. Please, please, please give yourself a massive hug if you're early days, if you're going through some tough stuff at the moment, because, you know, all the stuff we do, all the things I talk about, it's about positive sobriety. I'm always trying to share this message of positivity, but I'm also really realistic. And of course, I know that for some people, it can be really tough. And it's not all, you know, rainbows, bunnies, and everything perfect. I really get that. So if things are really hard for you, reach out. Don't hole up and try and do this completely on your own. You know, you're very welcome to message me. I will hold the space for you if I can. I'll reply to as many messages as I possibly can. Get yourself connected in some way to a community of like-minded people. Of course, I'd love it if you join the Sober Club, but whatever works for you. But do get connected, because if you don't, it's just you and the wine witch. And we know where that one leads. We've all been around that block too many times. So maybe this is your time. This is the time. You know, we're coming up to spring, I hope. Bought my first lot of daffodils last week, which really cheered me up. You know, we're coming into spring. So make it a sober spring. Fantastic opportunity. You know where to find me, at Janie Lee Grace. And drop me a message if you are interested in the Sober Coach training. We can have a conversation. Might see some of you on Sunday at Family Constellations. We'll definitely see a whole bunch of you in April and hopefully before then. And of course, I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.